Well, today, special day, it's Mother's Day, and I'm sorry, mothers, or women, I don't have a sermon for you to build you up, but I think you're doing a great job being a mother or being a woman, because I always feel like Mother's Day, we should honor all those that are not just mothers, but women that have been a part of our lives, that have encouraged us and built us up. And I just want to say a couple things. About that. I've had a few in my life, just one mother, but women that have built me up. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about a lady in my church that I grew up as a kid who was always there for us. She was like the mother. She never had kids, but she was like the mother to all the kids of the church. They all saw her as a mother figure. And she would greet us every time we came into church. She always had something for a little chocolate or something for us. And she was always there with a big smile. And she was like our mother or our grandmother. And she was there for us. And then I think of a lady that I knew in one of my churches. Her name was Helen. And an older lady when I came into the church. And she had been married. Her husband had passed away. She had no children of her own. She had stepchildren, and I remember when she first met me, we would talk, and I found out she was a cub lover, so we kind of hit it off, and I was at the point where I didn't be able to get the Cub Channel, so she'd invite me over to her place to watch the Cubs anytime I wanted to, as long as I brought a treat. Well, I always brought a treat, some ice cream or some chocolate for Helen. And I remember she would say to me, "Pastor, I came into this church as a baby. I was carried into this church as a baby. And if you ever have an issue with anybody, you feel free to talk to me. They won't go outside the walls of my house. I'll be honest with you, and you can be honest with me." And we had some good sharing times. And she was there to experience that. Was it 2016? The Cubs won the World Series. We're all together in a little house watching it together, a bunch of women from the church. It was all women. I don't know where the men were. And I was invited, and I remember 1 o'clock in the morning, we were toasting the Cubs with a little bottle of champagne. And then I had to get up the next morning and drive school bus. But then I remember my mother. And we had this event that happened in the church growing up that I'm glad they stopped doing it, and I don't think churches should do it. We would honor one mother every year. We'd point out one mother to come up, and she would be the mother of the year in the church. I don't know why. It was a crazy thing we did in our church. And I remember as a little kid, though, we'd be excited. Maybe mom's going to be mom of the year. Crazy thing to think, right? I would never do that. Okay, just so you know, I'd honor all you women today, all you mothers. And I still remember and the mother of the year, she has, and they started mentioning some stuff, and me and my brother look at each other, "That sounds like mom. I think it's mom." And they called up my mother, and she was mother of the year. But you know what? She was always mother of the year to me, no matter what. She would have been called up or not in front of the church. She was the type of person who I could come to at any time and just talk, just share things, deep things on my heart, deep things. And she always wanted to have fun. And one of her crazy and fun things she liked to do was go to movies. And somehow my dad was totally against movies. And mom would say, "Let's go to a movie." And I'd say, "Okay." And my dad said, "Oh, you're not taking mom to a movie again." I said, "Yes, I am, Dad." And we had to go and enjoy a movie together and enjoy each other's company. So God, I want you to remember this, because God has blessed all of us with either a mother or a spiritual mother, or somebody in our lives that we need to give thanks for. So do that today as you go the rest of your day. Well, let's get into our Romans text, Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. Four things that this four verses encourages us to do. It first encourages us to understand, to wake up, to put aside, and to put on. To understand, to wake up, to put aside, and to put on. First thing Paul says in verse 11, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you. Understanding the present time. That's a challenging thing, right? To understand where we are in our world today, in our life today. Understanding the present time. Well, the first thing we need to understand is this. We live in a broken world, right? We live in a fallen world. We've all have done something that isn't good in our lives. We've all fallen. But listen to this. It's just going to get worse. I don't want to bring you that bad news. Sorry. I believe, and Paul would say the same thing, recognize the time. Things are not going to, maybe things will get better, but sometimes things are going to get worse. We have limited accountability today. It seems like nobody wants to be accountable to anybody. Our values, where have our values gone in the world today? I read the stats and there's less people attending church today than there have been in the years past. I think I was talking to somebody about the church here in the good, hey, what, 200-300 people? Probably every pew would be full. I always joke around. I tell people we have a balcony in our church, but there's no way to get up there. The goal is to fill the church so that we can build a way to get up the balcony, and we need it. But we live in a present time where people aren't attending church as much, right? Even the reading of scriptures has declined. People are not reading the Bible as much. Barna, who does a survey, did a survey on five behaviors that people engaged in during this past week. And I'm not sure how long ago this survey was taken. 65% of people that they did this survey of, 65% said they used profanity in public somehow during the week. You know what's interesting? I love to play pickleball, and I play with a variety of people. And sometimes when I'm in the outdoor court, I remember a few times ago when I was out there, I heard this lady say, oh, that's that pastor from the church, so we should watch our language. And I remember this lady, I loved it. She goes, I don't care what the bleep and bleep who he is. I said, thank you, lady. I want to be recognized as a pastor, and I don't want people to use profanity. But it's out there, right? Profanity. 65% of people have used it in public. 38%, Barna said, people who were surveyed said they had sex outside of marriage. And that is, well, probably I bet you it's more than that. That is so common. 37% of people who surveyed said they had lied to somebody during the week. 33% said they were exposed to things that they shouldn't see in public or anywhere. 25% said they had gotten drunk during the week. So we have a new moral code in America, and it's anything goes sometimes, isn't it? Anything can go. But you know what the good news is this, that God still loves us and still wants a relationship with us. That God still loves us, even though our world is a broken world, is a fallen world, He still loves us, He still wants a relationship with us. But we need to understand the present time we live in. And then Paul said, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Wake up from your slumber. How many of you been to, when you're traveling, you go to maybe a hotel room? Maybe we do it because we have our phones now, but a lot of times we would call down the office, we'd say, I need a what? A wake-up call, right? You know, I got to leave for a flight early in the morning at the hotel, wake me up or whatever. Or sometimes our phones and our watches, we can set the alarms. I hate it when my boys are down visiting, because they'll set their alarms in the morning, and all through the house upstairs, I'll hear these alarms going off for them to get up. But do you think they're moving? Do you think they're moving? After the fifth time, I got to walk into the room where my son Jonah and says, either get up or shut that alarm off. It's already rung six times. You got to get going. Paul says the hour has already come for us. You know who he's writing to? He's writing to the church in Rome, Christians. It's time for you to wake up for your slumber. Wake up, church. That's what I entitled my sermon today. Wake up, church. God wants to get our attention. We need a wake-up call. The spiritual alarm is being sounded. It's time to wake up from our spiritual sleep. Ephesians 5:14 says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Wake up, church, Paul saying, wake up. Time has come for you to wake up from your slumber. And why? He gives it, in continuing in the verse, he says, because our what? Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. What is Paul talking about? Our salvation is nearer. What does that mean? Paul's talking about our salvation, our glorification, when we will be with the Lord, is getting closer day by day. Now, this was a few thousand years ago. Paul was sounding the alarm. Wake up, church. Your salvation is getting near. Your glorification, right, is getting nearer. Sometimes people, when they hear this thing of wake up, this is the responses we get. Some people say, well, the world is so fallen, it's not going to get any better. We should just give up. Just give up. Or there are people who are saying, well, I'm just going to bide my time. We'll get through this. I'll just bide my time as a Christian. Or there's people that are saying, I'm just waiting. I'm just going to continue to wait for God's return. I know it's coming soon. Instead, maybe we should see the urgency of the moment. Maybe, as someone has said, maybe we should live with a sense of what? A sense of purpose in our lives. A sense of purpose. Think about that. What is our purpose in life? When you get up in the morning and that alarm goes off and you do answer it and you get out of bed, do you think, what's my purpose today? What is God calling me to do today? Well, Paul says, understand the present time. Wake up for your slumber because your salvation is nearer now than we first believed. So three things about salvation. There's a past where you say, I have been saved. Where maybe in a time in your life you gave your life over to the Lord. You said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want you to be my Lord of my life. I give my life to you. Save me. We call that justification. He justifies us in front of God. And then there's the present, which we call being saved, which another word is sanctification. We're becoming more and more like Christ each day. That's a lifelong process, right? Being made in the image of Jesus, being more like our Savior, takes a lifelong time. It doesn't happen. You just don't wake up after you've committed your life to the Lord and there are issues in your life you might need to change. It's a lifelong thing. And then we talk about, and this is when Paul's saying our salvation is nearer. We're talking about the future, the glorification, where we'll have a new body, where there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more suffering. So there's past, present, and future, but we're living right now in the present. And Paul urges us in verse 12, he says, the night is already over. The day is almost here. So we need to do something. He says, put aside what? The deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put aside the deeds of darkness. That word put aside means to fling away. Anything that is unclean is to fling it, toss it away. For me lately, something that isn't unclean is taking Wally outside to do his job. And I'm doing a good job, church. When he does his job, I have that little bag, and I'm putting it in, and I'm putting it in another bag. I'm getting rid of it. Or now and then, when he might have an accident, you know, he's not perfect. Wally's not perfect. Should I say this? He had an accident the other day in the church. Should I tell you that? You don't want to hear that, do you? I didn't want to hear it either. It was in my office. I thought he was good. Next thing I know, there's two little poops lying in the office. And I said a few words that I shouldn't have not said. No, I didn't say that. I grabbed them up. You know what I did with them? I grabbed them up, went to the bathroom, and flushed it down the toilet. And then Wally went back to his cage for the rest of the morning. Paul says here, put aside the deeds of darkness. Get out of sin. Get out of darkness. Remove it from our lives. Remove those sinful habits that we might still have. Those ways of living that are not honoring to God. He says, let us behave decently, right? And then he lists. He gives us a list here. Let us behave decently. And he talks about carousing and drunkenness, sexual morality, debauchery. And we go, oh, Pastor, I'm not into any of that stuff. You know, I don't carouse. When it's 8 o'clock, I'm in bed. There's no carousing going on in here in my life. And drunkenness, oh, I have a little. That's about all I can, you know, none of that going on. And, oh, don't even want to talk the other debauchery and everything else. But then Paul narrows it down to love that says, and what? Dissension and jealousy. He lists those with carousing, drunkenness, sexual morality, debauchery. He lists those, right? Dissension and jealousy. You know, there are other sins that God... Remember God or Jesus listed, he said, you know, if you look at somebody in the wrong way, you've committed adultery already in your own heart. If you hate, look at somebody and you say something negative or hateful, you've already showed hate or murdered them in a different way. But I'm so glad that God looks at the heart. He sees our sin. We need to repent. We need to move from sin. But God looks at our heart. And Paul was so good about that. In Romans, he says, there is no what? Condemnation for those that are in Jesus. There is no condemnation. Doesn't mean we stop sinning. You remember Jesus when he caught the woman in adultery? He says, where are your accusers? They're not here. He goes, I forgive you, but go and sin no more. Or the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has been raised from the dead, and the first thing Jesus says is, help Lazarus take off those grave clothes. Take off that, well, how do I say it? We weren't icky, smelling, horrible grave clothes. Take them off. And he says the same thing to us. Take off those things in your life that aren't good for you. Take them off. Throw them off. You know what sins really kind of creep back into our lives, I believe, are the sins of our past. Satan does a good job of allowing those things to creep back into our lives, right? We think, I've dealt with that issue. I've dealt with that in my life. But Satan will do his job to bring that back into our lives. Are you really forgiven? You really messed up? But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, let us behave decently, right? Let's put off these things. And then in verse 14, he says what? Rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Close yourself with Jesus. Think like Jesus. Live like Jesus. Imitate Jesus. Depend on Jesus. Remember the bracelets? WWJD? What would Jesus do? Right? What would Jesus do? Before, in the book of Romans, there were people who had said, well, because of the grace we have given to us, that gives us a license to sin because we're always going to be forgiven. No, that's not so, right? We don't have a license to sin, but we are not perfect. It means surrendering to the Holy Spirit in our lives. How many of you, like me sometimes, wish I had a big vest on, and on the vest in the front it said, or even in the back, it said, still under construction. You've seen those signs? Still under construction. I mean, none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. But Paul tells us, rather clothe yourselves with Jesus. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. In fact, a little later on, earlier, Paul says, put aside the deeds of darkness, but put on the what? The armor of light. Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. Because your struggle is not against flesh and blood, not against the rulers, not against the authorities, against the powers of the spiritual darkness. It's that's what it's against, and against evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor. Put on Jesus. Put on the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take the shield of faith. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it says, in all these things, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Don't think about how I can satisfy the desires of the flesh, how I can sin today, what I can get away with. Choose Jesus instead. Stay away from the things that would bring you to sin. Do not give your flesh an opportunity to have its fling, right? And I believe a lot of that starts in our thought life. Sometimes what we fill our minds with and what we're thinking about. Somebody has said this about sin. Get radical about sin. Take it seriously. Take it seriously. So here's Paul. He says, do you understand the present time you live in? We live in a fallen world. It's probably going to get worse, not better. Are you ready to wake up from your slumber, church? Are we ready to wake up and realize that our salvation is nearer now than it was before? Are we ready to put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light? Are we willing to clothe ourselves with Jesus? Clothe ourselves with Jesus. I hope our prayer as a church is that people, when they walk into the doors of this church, would know that we're about Jesus. That we're not perfect. That each person walking in this door has a sign on them that probably says still under construction. But people will feel like there's people here that want to be clothed with Jesus in their life. And just not inside the doors of this church, but we are the church, what? Outside the doors of the church. That's where the church really is. It's outside the walls of this building. When you're in your workplace, do people see Jesus? When you're at school, young people, kids, do they see Jesus somehow in your life, how you treat others? Because people can be cruel how they treat others. I shared a story once with some people about growing up and how the native people that were coming off the reservations in Canada and then were getting bussed into our school system, how they were treated. It was not nice. Or those that were had handicaps in their life and how people could be so cruel in the schools to and kids and how they treated each other. So Paul's saying, understand your times, but wake up. Wake up, church. Put on Christ. Put off the deeds of the flesh. Clothe yourselves with Jesus. So my prayer is that each one of us can do that. And that as a church, we would continue to clothe this church with the armor of light and with Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, help us to where you have placed us in this life, what job we have, relationships we're in, Lord, that we would look to you for the strength that we need, that we'd understand the times that we're in today, and that that we need maybe to wake up from our sleep, our slumber, our spiritual sleep, because we're getting closer and closer to the day of our glorification when we will be in eternity with you. Because none of us know the day or the hour when Christ will return, but we don't even know the day or the hour or how much time we have in our own lives to live. And Lord, may we live our lives in a way where we put aside the deeds of darkness and of sin and we clothe ourselves with Jesus. Jesus' love, Jesus' humility, Jesus' grace, Jesus' compassion that he had on the hurting world that he was involved in. May we do that as Christians. May we do that as this church, First Congregational Church, that we may be a church where we can offer grace and love and acceptance and hope to the people that enter the doors. And our lives would be an example of Jesus, even though we're not perfect. Lord, thank you for the words of the Apostle Paul this morning. Bring these words to our hearts and minds daily, so that we may be encouraged and that we may be challenged to be awake. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.